welcome to the Upriser podcast. I'm your host, Clinton Bonner. Upriser focuses on technology conversations centered in the future of work and how new technologies are applied and how work evolves. The Upriser podcast is brought to you by Topcoder.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Upriser podcast. I'm your host, Clinton Bonner, VP of Marketing at Topcoder. And on the Upriser podcast, you know by now, we love to talk to the futurists. We love to talk to the people actually creating, literally creating the future of work. And that is why I'm so excited to talk with Tim Prohm today. Tim is a future of work expert, literally designing and delivering next generation digital solutions to access on-demand talent. As the VP of Digital Product Architecture at Kelly, Tim is focused on using technologies like AI, analytics, blockchain, RPA, cognitive, chatbot automation, conversational AI, all these things to develop next generation of talent attraction models and build products that help companies prepare for future talent requirements. He's doing a ton of stuff. So we're going to get Tim's perspective on kind of what happens next. And from an enterprise standpoint, who should own the talent strategy from that POV? So I'm really super excited to welcome in Tim Prohm of Kelly. Tim, welcome to the pod.
I like my bio. It sounds pretty great and pretty cool. So thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to meet with you to speak here on the Upriser podcast. I'm very, very excited to be here. And I think we're going to have a great conversation. I'm really very much looking forward to it.
My side hustle is writing bios. So if you ever need that, fun, you know.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, sure. It's a joke, but hey, if I could pen something for somebody, by all means, hit me up. I like to write. It's fun. Yeah. So let's start big. Let's start with the obtuse, the macro, and then we could drill in from there. So what are you seeing in the biggest sense of what is happening with work as we know it right now?
Had we talked 3 or 6 months ago, we would have talked about things like, hey, offices will go away. Everybody will continue to work from home for like ever. That's what talent wants, give them the flexibility. And everybody's kind of like keeping or hanging tight, hanging in there to keep their jobs just because of COVID. And kind of like 6 months forward, kind of like talking now in the June of 2021, you see that there is a complete different kind of like setting that I think nobody expected. I closely definitely didn't expect it, because realistically, all of a sudden you see companies kind of like having talent back into the office. A lot of organizations are stopping the work from home programs. They want people back in the office. At the same time, you see a massive uptick in hiring demand, mainly in the US, but also here in Europe, where I sit in Germany, you see many more employers really starting to feel the need for talent. During the crisis area, it was kind of like, hey, I need to make sure I can contain everything and I play it safe. But now everybody is starting to hire again. And what we see at Kelly is that there's a massive, massive retention problem that a lot of organizations are starting to get. And when you take a look at LinkedIn, there's so many people who have new employers who now take the opportunity, once the economy is coming back, to look for new work, to find somebody who probably supports a work from home policy where the previous employer said, hey, you need to come back into the office kind of like 3 days a week. So I think that talent really captured the opportunities that are kind of like happening right now in the marketplace and this dynamic rebound that we're facing. Talent has got a glimpse of the freedom that you can have today, working from home, working remote, obviously juggling personal life and work life in your home office, but just having the flexibility to work from anywhere you want. And I think a lot of people and a lot of organizations will get problem if they really continue to demand people coming back into the office.
It's a great jumping off point, because I'd say the big thing for me even a year ago was I thought it was hyperbolic, the shift. And we talked about it a lot on Upriser, that like the office is dead, that no one's going back. And I was like, wait a second. I've seen these things where there's such a reaction where it's like people won't fly again, or the housing market will never come back. I'm like, there's always this you know, more than knee jerk. It goes so far one way. And of course, we are seeing this demand from the enterprise side to call people back and say, hey, we want you here at least 2 to 3 days a week. And then the trick that's been turned is the talent is basically saying, not so fast. Like, I have more options than I've ever had before. And I agree, you've gotten the taste of, hey, what it's like, what is it if I only have to go to the office once a month, where I could really, for the most part, do everything I want to do from my home and then take business trips and go, you know, go to events and do things that still provide the culture that I think a lot of people would lack if they had none of that, in my opinion. Going back to the metaphor, the analogy of the housing market, like if it's a seller's market in the US, and it certainly is to get top dollar for your home, I think it is a talent market. Like they're in the driver's seat right now. So that's the talent side. I think the trends are clear as day. And you're right. You go on LinkedIn every other day. Someone's like, "Ooh, I started here. I started there." You're like, wow, lots of transition of really, really high level people as well. And mid-level folks that are ascending to become director, VP, and moving on and taking that leap, which is great. Then what about the enterprise side? So did they take a misstep? What do you think the enterprise side should do in reflection of we're seeing this big transition post-COVID?
Yeah, honestly, I think a lot of organizations are still trying to figure it out. Because what you realize, and also when I talk to a lot of our customers, I mean, until recently, until the beginning of the year, everybody was in crisis mode. About a year ago, had we met, we had talked about a lot of organizations kind of like furloughing thousands of workers and to just making sure like, hey, how can we stay in touch? How can you make sure that talent that's furloughed, we nurture and keep them engaged so that if we call them back into the office, they actually like show up. And now all of a sudden, business is picking back up again. Prices everywhere are rising. Organizations are trying to get back to normal. They struggle. So because realistically, kind of like all of a sudden business is picking back up again, you have a retention problem. That's definitely something we're seeing. And at the same time, you struggle to fill the open jobs that you're having. So you need to pay more dollars to get people work for your organization. And you at the same time also need to be flexible with the work accommodations. And I think a lot of organizations still try to make sense of that new operating model, that new world of work. And I think a lot of the forward-thinking organizations get there. The one indicator that I like is the online labor index. And it basically shows you a nice graph of the transactions that are happening on the major gig platforms. And since 2016, they tracked the data and there was like a massive uptick in the beginning of 2020. That's where COVID hit. Organizations had to close down the offices. They needed to get work done. What did they do? Temps couldn't come into the office, traditional temps. So they went to the human cloud platforms and they said, hey, I need to get work done. Doesn't really matter where people sit. Could be in India, could be in Europe, could be in South America, whatever it is. And you saw a massive uptick in demand and also in supply. And then it trickled back down again. And you're like, okay, everybody's going back to normal. But if you look at the data this year alone, it rose around to like 15 to 20% already. And I think that's a good indication that all of a sudden employers are not using on-demand talent opportunistically. Oh, there's a burning fire I need to fight. Let's bring these gig workers in. But they realize that all of a sudden there is the ability to use these talent platforms. It gives you greater visibility on talent that's available. It gives you more flexibility in engaging workers. And a lot of organizations, even though they struggle now, they still learn that work can be done pretty much from anywhere if it has to. And I think that's what a lot of organizations are seeing right now. So again, it's a mixed bag that I'm observing. But I think going forward, organizations will adjust much more. And these hybrid work models that we're only reading about in the Wall Street Journal or wherever right now, that's going to become the new reality. And I think organizations are starting to get that and align accordingly.
You mentioned the online labor index. So is there a particular URL that you check out or a particular site that you go to access it?
Just Google it. It's the easiest thing. It's like it's a hidden in the kind of like Oxford University. It's like a subdomain. Just Google it. Very, very nice way. It also kind of like shows you great data, kind of like where the demand is, which interestingly is a lot of Western Europe, the US, and then also where the talent supply is, which very often is like Bangladesh, India, the APAC region. So it really shows you how organizations can tap into a global talent pool by using these platforms. And again, it's a very, very nice data source, online labor index. Just Google it. You'll find it very high in the Google search rankings and insightful information. It's always good looking.
That's a great nugget to take away. I love having one place and one dash to kind of, you know, give you the pulse, right? And then that's what it sounds like it does. Okay, so we've got companies that want people back in the office at least part-time, and that's still gaining steam, while the opposite is happening where the talent is saying, I'm not sure I want to do that. They're looking for other options. And there's this great transition of talent going to places that are offering remote work life. That's at least what I see. And I think that's happening quite a bit. And then there's a vacuum there. What was like an emergency pull cord when COVID first hit, gig labor, freelance labor, you're seeing it as saying, hey, this is sticking. Is it sticking because of necessity? Is it sticking because of efficiency, productivity? Is it an all-inclusive? What's your take on like why it's actually stayed as COVID around the world has dissipated to where it is now?
It's a combination of everything you talked about. Because realistically, in the past, work has always been delivered in a very, very traditional way. You hire somebody, that person comes into the office every day, sits in a cubicle next to the manager, and the manager says, right, Clinton came in 8:50 this morning, and he left, 7:30 p.m. He's a great employer or employee because he worked a lot. And I mean, that is unfortunately the culture in a lot of organizations still where you're graded on your being in the desk. But realistically, a lot of organizations realize that work can be delivered from anywhere. And if you focus on outcome-based delivery, you trust your employees to say, this is the outcome you need to deliver, this is the work that needs to get done, then all of a sudden, once you take that leap and trust the talent, you're better off. And I think that's what a lot of organizations started to realize. Because again, 2 years ago, when we talked about gig work and the human cloud, a lot of our clients at Kelly, they said, hey, sorry, that's not what I want. I need the temp worker, but that person needs to be in the office every day. I want to make sure I understand how long the lunch break is. I want to make sure I can look over the shoulders, see if they're really working and not, I don't know, kind of like browsing Facebook. I mean, this is like a lot of traditional thinking that's still out there with employers. But I think because of COVID, that was really the big catalyst where all of a sudden, a lot of organizations lost control. And everybody says, like, honestly, it's better than we expected. And I think this is what kind of like changed the mindset, because humans only change behavior if there's like either a big crisis or big event that's actually kind of like changing perception. I think that's happened with COVID. So some will go back to or try to go back to how work was, and some just say, hey, there are these things that we tested out, the gig platforms during the crisis. Why not make it part of the strategic toolkit that we have? And a lot of organizations that I'm working with are starting to think about that. They're trying to build that into their processes so that it's not just an opportunistic emergency channel that they use, but that they're using it more strategically. And I think that's great news for the industry in general.
I agree. If you could weave in on-demand talent, we're not saying it's a replacement, but if it could be part of your portfolio and you could culturally make it work, well, then you become such a more fluid organization so that when stuff hits the fan, and things do hit the fan, and something else will hit the fan, it's going to happen. And if you're in a position of resiliency, well, then you're mitigating the risk that you would traditionally be having a real hard time with, is what it boils down to. It's not some panacea, that cure-all. It's simply a better way. I do want to ask you, since you're talking with so many enterprises, who do you see picking up the mantle? Like, who's owning this? And is there a tug of war, or is there one coming?
Access to online talent is much more democratized, so to speak, if that even makes sense in English. Because today, if you kind of like go out, you need to get your manager, you need to get work done. In the past, you needed to kind of like open a purchase order or submit a form to HR, and then somebody would come back, and it takes a couple of weeks. If you need to get work done and you have the budget, you can go to a human cloud platform, take your corporate credit card and say, hey, I need to have a PowerPoint deck created, or I need to have something, logo design, whatever it is that you need. Basically, you interact with a gig worker directly, you're charged with a credit card, you pay whatever, like $1,000, and then you're gone. That's kind of the thing where a lot of corporate procurement organizations and HR organizations are all of a sudden struggling, because they're not in the position of power anymore. It's a democratized system. You can access and get in contact with a lot of kind of like talent through these platforms. So a lot of organizations are trying to get their arms around it, making sure there's more structure to it. And there should be a bit more structure to it, because there's always things like liability, data privacy. So a couple of things that an organization obviously needs to take care of. The big driver for demand for gig platform or gig work is coming from the actual business. It's not necessarily HR. It's not necessarily procurement. It's the manager, the IT, team lead that needs to get something done, that needs to bring somebody on for a short period of time and says, hey, I don't need that person to be on site sitting next to me or sitting next to my team. And I think this is why all of a sudden it's becoming that kind of like nice approach where you're breaking down the silos and breaking down the barriers. And I think that's also great news for a lot of organizations when you think about it. It makes you much more agile.
it could spread the mantle of like who could use it? Who could use it and still do it in a way that is governed and like sanctioned essentially by maybe some centralized authority within an org to say, yeah, that's okay to tap these talent platforms. We just put out an ebook on Top Coder. It's about 5 modern workforce leaders, and they all came from different slices. And we give little vignettes, and one is from procurement, one is from an innovation lead, and one is a chief technology officer, you know, and it proves the point that it's like, if you want to step through and learn how to wield it, you can at this point. And I want to ask you, if you're sitting down with, you know, a next enterprise that calls up Kelly today and they're like, let's bring in Tim to talk to them strategically, what are the first things you're asking of that enterprise to understand their talent strategy? And then what are you, from Kelly's perspective, advising them for what should be or what you would want them to view as a future talent strategy?
The critical thing for me is always, okay, and how does the contingent workforce fit in? Because what we still see, even, I mean, Kelly Services, we're celebrating our 75th birthday. So temporary staffing is 75 years old. And it is still very much a kind of like short-term topic. Oh, somebody got sick. Oh, I have a new project that was unexpected. I need to fill a gap somewhere. I need to bring a temp worker in. I need to bring the Kelly girl in, kind of like as an example here. But the thing is that kind of like even after all these years, it's still very often perceived to be, contingent talent is very often perceived to be a commodity. And that's something that I personally don't really like, because sometimes you'd work with procurement organizations who in the morning negotiated 150,000 buy of 150,000 pencils, and then in the afternoon they're negotiating rates for temp workers. And I think that's not the right thing. And the majority of organizations, they don't have a clear strategy how to strategically use contingent workers, no matter if it's independent contractors, gig workers, temp agents, whatever it is. And I think a lot of organizations are really, really missing out on that, because you can plan a lot in an organization. And I mean, as a corporate organization, at that time of the year, you're probably thinking about your 2022 goals already. You're putting budgets together. So you have an idea of what the strategic things are that you want to accomplish next year. Why not think about how to bring contingent labor in? And why not think about the ideal labor mix?
You know, even from our experience at Top Coder, you know, we have some of our customers that are teaching us. We're teaching them, but they're also teaching us with, hey, I put this webhook in and I got this API to go into this platform and I did this. Then the talent could come into the same environment and we're cool. Like now there's a way to tap that in a way that, you know, our CISO is giving a thumbs up and saying, okay, that's cool. Be more efficient and more productive that way. And I think that's a really interesting leap. And again, that's not HR driven, but sometimes that's straight up technology, like CTO driven, which is super, super interesting. So I do want to pivot to technology, because I know that you gravitate and really do poke at and experiment and want to know about the possibilities of their AI, blockchain, just all different consortiums of tech that are smashing up right now that might be edge, but are maturing before our eyes. So I'd love to understand your perspective, and if it's Kelly's perspective as well, that's good too, but of the new talent approach. And then what are you looking at in terms of, hey, if this is a table with all these different technologies on the table, which ones are exciting you? And what are some of the applications you're seeing of the new tech so that a traditional old way of getting the talent in is no longer needed? It's becoming more modern.
I'm so excited about automation, because traditionally you think about automation replacing human workers, making sure machine is doing the job. But automation is so exciting because it allows you to really rethink your entire business processes, really think about how to exploit what's possible from a technical perspective, and then not only do it to deliver lower cost, but to deliver a better outcome. And I think that's something that I'm thinking about. And a lot of organizations don't. They just think about cost cutting, and that's not the right approach. I think that's the one thing. Second piece that I find very exciting is blockchain. And I feel that from an overall blockchain perspective, there's a huge opportunity, especially in the blue collar space. If you're a blue collar worker, you worked as a forklift driver for 10 days, then for 20 days, you worked as a picker. really being able to provide them with a list of skill set that they not acquired in college or in high school, but through actual work experiences, will make life so much better from my point of view. Will create higher wages, will allow them to provide kind of like more income to their families. I think that's the nice thing about the blockchain technology or the blockchain approach, if we do it the right way. And I think that's like something I'm working on that I really, really like.
And the way I look at it from a traditional standpoint, I'm from New York, I got some buddies who are lawyers, and I know the New York bar is super hard to pass from a lawyer perspective, don't quote me, but I believe that if you pass the New York bar, you're allowed to practice law in any of the 50 states in the US. It's just the way it is because it's such a high level bar. I see a similar opportunity for skills platforms and digital wallets that literally allow you to, as the talent perspective, have the most opportunity afforded to you, period. And that I love the idea. I didn't think about the blue collar application, but I love that because of the delta. There's other things out there that already have skills and there's data points and there's badging. So from a tech perspective, it'll be an upgrade and a really nice one. But yeah, that delta of where the blue collar worker is currently to what the digital skills wallet could provide them if they are going from job to job to job, you know, and they just have this bouquet of things that they clearly are skilled in it and safe to go do. It's very much like a passport to new opportunities. So love you call that out there.
The concept of the kind of like citizen developer, where basically you can take anybody who has an understanding of process, needs to understand the business, needs to understand technology, but doesn't really have that coding language capability, but still has these tools now to build something and to create new solutions. This is so exciting because, again, you're kind of like broadening the skill sets and you're broadening the group of people who can actually be creative in your organization, come up with new technology solutions. So I think that's also something going back to giving access to tools, making it more democratized for everybody. This applies here as well. So that's very exciting because it will allow organizations to innovate faster.
It allows more people to take more ideas further down the development lifecycle than ever before. It's the fact that designers or your creatives could wire up these prototypes and these POCs and then get user testing and do all that within one design system, which you could get so much more data and feedback and get to a point of, hey, we actually want to build this much, much faster now. Because of the combination of the tech being there, you got the thirsty, curious people who want to provide value. They don't want to just have the idea, make a pitch, get approved, hand it off, and then kind of wait with hat in hand to see maybe it gets to a pitch session and maybe it's elevated and then people in a big boardroom decide whether it lives or dies. Versus that same person who has the concept having a little runway, whatever that means, a little capital, a little bit of their time that they could go do this. You were able to put a chatbot together for POC purposes in 3 hours, which may have taken 3 months of capital and time in a different state. So it's super exciting. And I love that you brought that up too. So I want to end on what Kelly is doing right now. I know that you have some exciting things that you've launched and that you've been working on for quite a while. So I'd love to give you the floor and just ask, like, what has you excited at Kelly? What are you saying to the market? And what would you like to say to our audience?
Two things I can share here. One thing that we haven't officially kind of like launched, but I mean, next quarter, we're going to launch a new solution that my team created that we call OCG Boost, which is a kind of like a recruiterless hiring solution for full-time talent. So just something where we really, really were able to leverage kind of like all the power that technology brings to the table today. Especially in a high volume environment where we say, hey, we can kind of like reduce the amount of recruiter involvement. We do a lot of screening through technology, use a lot of AI, use a lot of automated communication between kind of like hiring managers and talent. That's extremely exciting because it's really the new chapter for full-time hiring in the Kelly world. So more to come on that. And then the other thing, and you briefly mentioned it, Helix, which is kind of like the technology platform we're using, but we launched what we call Helix UX, which is really the entry point into what we call total talent management. So as an organization, you might use full-time hires, you might use contingent hires, but the question is, where do you start the journey? Because there's really the need to help hiring managers go down the right path. So we're kind of like doing a lot of recommendations, we're using a lot of kind of like conversational AI, we have a lot of data sources that feed into it to make better informed decisions and recommendations to make sure that we understand the nature of work that needs to get done and then can say, hey, honestly, based on what you said, You might have used a temporary worker from an agency in the past, but realistically, the better choice for you is a gig worker through a platform. Because that's what a lot of organizations are missing today. A lot of the talent consumption that we see is based on kind of past behavior. Nobody takes into account what's the best value for the investment. What's the best talent source? What's talent availability going to look like? So all this feeds into Helix, into the kind of recommendation engine that we've created within the Helix platform. But the idea behind it is to have that one stop, that single point of entry into everything kind of you're doing or you're consuming from Kelly as a service. So that's kind of the two big technology pieces. So I've been with Kelly since 2016, so like 5 years with Kelly. And as I said, it's like 70th birthday when I joined the Kelly organization. Now it's the 75th birthday. And it is so cool to see how a legacy organization that's really been kind of part of corporate America for like so long is really managing the digital transformation. And I'm so proud and so excited to be part of that journey, because I'm always saying, hey, we're digitizing a legend. I mean, that's like, we could probably use a hashtag for that, because everybody knows, like a lot of people know Kelly, everybody knows the Kelly girl in the US, but we're really understanding, and our leadership is really understanding that everything needs to become more digital and we need to invest. And this is why I personally have a lot of freedom that I'm very thankful for. I have a great team that's working with me on all the wild ideas that we're having. We're constantly evolving because we have to. There's no way around it. And that's why we're putting a lot of focus on technology, on digital, things like AI, things like blockchain, things like automation, because that's what's going to define our industry over the next 20, 30 years. And I think that's what everybody needs to understand.
And when you were going through the OCG Boost and Helix UX, one word that I wrote down, underlined, was self-disruption. There was clearly a leadership, you know, viewpoint that started years ago that said, hey, this wave is coming. Either we're ahead of it, we're, you know, kind of in the middle of it, or we go the other way. We retract and say that's not the future. So really nice to see that Kelly has that viewpoint and then is executing on that through digital products that you and your team are leading. So it's been really, really a cool discussion with you, Tim. So I want to remind folks, we're talking with Tim Prohm. He's the VP of Digital Product Architecture at Kelly. Tim, if folks want to learn more about you or learn more about, you know, Helix UX or anything else that's coming out from Kelly and your team, what's the best way for them to find you and stay up to date with Kelly?
Yeah, absolutely. Connect via LinkedIn. I mean, everything I do, kind of like I post on LinkedIn, go to kellyservices.com, learn more about it. But just if you have questions, just reach out. Everything, kind of like every podcast appearance, every blog I'm writing is listed on my LinkedIn profile. And just reach out. If you have questions, just get in touch. I reply. I talk to everybody. So just reach out and feel free to ask any questions you might have.
And I could you know, tell people, you know, for a matter of fact, you know, Tim's very open, and we collaborated on what we talk about today, and just then, and it was a great effort, and I think we put out a nice piece for folks to really understand your perspective and then the way that Kelly is helping to take the talent strategy industry into this next wave of what's coming, because it is. So Tim, love the conversation, and wish you nothing but the best for your team at Kelly as you continue to progress this forward for really everyone. And I know we'll catch up soon and look forward to getting this out so we could share it with your network and our network.
Thank you so much for having me. It was really, really great session. I really appreciate this conversation.
All right. Love it. Thank you, Tim. Talk to you soon.
If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe to the Upriser podcast. It's available wherever you get your podcasts, so it's pretty easy. And of course, I encourage you to follow us out on social at Upriser, UPRISOR on Twitter. And also, I would encourage you to follow Top Coder at Top Coder, TOPCODER.